Good afternoon. Today is Tuesday, September 27th, 2022. My name is Justin Coffin. This is the 330 Sports Show, and we are recording live from downtown Youngstown at Youngstown Studio. Today's show, we are going to get very heavily into a lot of Cleveland sports. So if you like Cleveland sports, if you like a little bit of Ohio State Buckeyes, we are going to get very heavy into all three of the major Cleveland sports, mostly the Guardians, Indians, Cleveland baseball team, whatever you want to call them. I don't care. But the name on the front is more important than, you know, the little logo on the back. Hopefully I'm not offending anybody with my Chief Wahoo hat.
That's a kick-ass shirt, by the way.
Oh, well, thank you. Once again, well, my sister got me a gift card for GV Artwork. We got to get those guys on the show. They do amazing stuff. They do like this Etch-A-Sketch stuff too. Unbelievable artists, but I have a whole treasure trove of shirts from GV, Youngstown Clothing Company, and Homage. Those are like my three go-tos. So definitely got to get them on the show at some point. But a lot of Cleveland sports today. Normally we start with the Browns and then we go to you know, the Guardians or the Buckeyes. Today, we're going to actually start with the Cleveland Guardians. But before we get into all of that, you know, big headlines in Cleveland. So for the first time in since 1995, Cleveland baseball and Cleveland football lead their divisions at the same time. We're only 3 weeks into the football season, so that tells you how bad the Browns have been for many, many years. And the Cavs also open up training camp this week. So things are looking really, really good right now as a Cleveland sports fan. As we know, don't hold your breath because, you know, we're bound to be let down at some point. But right now, things are looking good. Guardians just clinched the AL Central. Again, like I said, the Browns are 2-1, probably should be 3-0. But you know, you are what you are. And then the Cavs open up training camp here soon and have a loaded young roster. So that's where we're at. We'll also get into a little bit of Ohio State Buckeyes, and they just blew the doors off of Wisconsin this weekend, which was an amazing sight. But Joe, let me ask you this too. If you, and you know, I know obviously you probably follow the Browns more than any of the two other teams in Cleveland, but with the Browns being as good as they are, at least roster top to bottom, especially when Deshaun Watson comes back, the Guardians, the youngest team in baseball, just won the AL Central. And then the Cavs have like six of the top 100 players in the NBA and four possible All-Stars in their starting lineup. Which team, and I think I touched on this before, which team do you think is kind of like looking the best right now?
Well, I think all of them are sort of in the same spot where they all have they're all contenders. Mm-hmm. But I think the Indians and the Browns are more Cinderella contenders. Yeah. And I think the Cavs are more mathematical contenders.
Okay. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. So when we have all these three teams, and I'll pose that question out there for anyone that responds. Which team is closest to a championship? So we obviously got one in 2016 with the Cavs, which was an unbelievable run, but you had the best player in the NBA at that time. You know, since then the Cavs have fallen off and now have built themselves back up into a contender, as Joe mentioned. The Browns have arguably, especially when Watson comes back, one of the best rosters in the NFL, 1-52 or 53, excuse me. And then the Guardians, the youngest team in baseball, have won, I think it's like 18 of their last 21 and 7 in a row. No one predicted this team to do anything before the season started. And they are just, you know, on absolute fire right now. So pose that question to you guys. So Jay out there says the Cavs are the closest in his opinion. I could definitely see that. The Eastern Conference in the NBA is very, very loaded. But with Boston's head coach, I don't know if you heard about what happened there. Mm-hmm. Boston's head coach, so Boston won the East last year. Let's just say he dipped his pen in the company ink. So they have a moral and standards code there, and apparently a female staffer and him had a consensual relationship, but it was found out and he is now suspended the entire season. So Boston is without their head coach for an entire season. So Boston, maybe you put them down a rung. You know, you got a couple other contenders, Brooklyn, Milwaukee, but the Cavs are right there. So we will see how that goes. Now, with good news comes bad too. Did you hear about the Myles Garrett traffic incident yesterday? So,
you know, I heard all of like the dramatic embellishments. Mm-hmm. I really don't. Do they know what happened at this
point? So this is what I understand. And I have not heard anything else since like 9 a.m. this morning. So apparently yesterday, you know, he was leaving practice. And by all accounts, he's never even like taken a sip of alcohol in his life, you know. So there was no drugs, no alcohol involved. He had a female in the car with him and he was driving a little Porsche, you know, and he's a big dude. And apparently this happened in Medina County, so a little bit south of Berea where the Browns train. But the roads were wet and apparently there was some sort of animal. I don't know if it was a deer. I don't know if, you know, whatever it could be, a deer, a fox. I don't know what it is, but he tried to avoid the animal and then like overcorrected and the car flipped, which I've seen that happen once. I've seen a car flip once. It's one of the most frightening things ever. Thank God him and the female passenger were wearing their seatbelts, because that could have been very, very bad. That could have been, you know, obviously we talk sports on here, but life trumps all, you know what I'm saying? So luckily, by all accounts, at least Myles Garrett, no broken bones, but you know, you go through a car accident like that, you're probably going to be banged up. I don't care if you're superhuman like he is or not. Your car flips over a couple times. You know, you worry about his long-term health more than, hey, is he going to play on Sunday? You know, so, right. And I actually noticed since that accident happened, the Browns open up as a 2.5-point favorite. It's now they're a 1.5-point favorite. So that's probably speculation.
He's that magnet that he takes double and triple coverages off of that offense. So
and Jadeveon Clowney probably not going to play, so you could be without your top two defensive ends there. But more importantly, it seems to be he's okay. He was released from the hospital last night, and you know, that's what we know right now. So I'm sure Stefanski and Barry and whoever will have more in their press conferences. So that's where we're at. So
do you think he, in the last game, he was pretty ineffective at getting to the quarterback?
I think in the first half he was. In the second half, the Browns only gave up 3 points to the Steelers in the second half of that game. And, you know, he didn't technically have a sack, but he made an impact. And I think on that defensive line, if you're not seeing the sacks pile up, you know, sometimes you don't think he's making an impact on the game, but he's really he caused Trubisky to like force a couple throws, or to like, he hit him one time really hard that forced an incompletion or like a quick throw. So he makes an impact on the game, whether it's in the statistical column or not, you know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So hopefully, fingers crossed, he'll be able to play, but obviously more importantly, glad he and hopefully that female passenger are okay. So we'll get to more Brown stuff in a minute, but I want to switch gears real quick. We're going to start off with the Cleveland Guardians, because I mean, anytime the Cavs, the Guardians, Indians, whatever you want to call them, the Browns win a division championship, it is special. So the Guardians win their division. Again, they were given like zero chance to win this division at the beginning of the season. Their big offseason signing was Luke Maley, who's their backup catcher. They have like the fourth cheapest payroll in all of baseball, and by far the youngest roster in all of baseball by, I think, almost a full year, which is crazy.
We need that Bob Uecker. The Indians win it.
My God. Yeah. Major League. The coolest thing I saw the other day was, I think it was, I'm trying to think who hit the home run. Oscar Gonzalez, I think, hit a home run, and they were playing in Texas. And an Indians fan caught it, well, Guardians, whatever, again. But all there was four guys or guys and gals, I don't know who it was, but they were wearing a Roger Dorn, Rick Vaughn, yes. Jake Taylor, and Lou Brown jersey. And it was so great to see that out in the crowd. And that was just so, so neat. So, well done by the Cleveland Guardians. Terry Francona deserves a ton of credit with this young roster. But again, $66 million payroll, which again, fourth lowest or 28th in baseball, which is just crazy. And again, 16 players. So you have a 25, 26 man roster. 16 players have made their major league debuts this season for Cleveland, which is just amazing.
That's their pitcher.
Yeah, right. Exactly. So they clinch on the 25th. I'm going to throw this out on social media, this graphic, in case you see it. But on, I believe it was July 9th, they had like something like a 7% chance to win the division. And obviously now that is a 100% chance because they have clinched. So great, great news. I'm not going to go through all the statistics, but this lineup is really looking solid. So you start at the top, Steven, and these are just potential batting orders. I think you can see for the postseason, but Steven Kwan, probably going to be the rookie of the year. Amed Rosario, you picked him up in the Lindor trade last year. He's your starting shortstop. He is like second or third in the American League in hits. Jose Ramirez, your MVP candidate there. Oscar Gonzalez, one of those rookies who is just hitting the ball like crazy. Josh Naylor, who looks like he should be playing beer league softball. He's like 25 years old, but he's got this big old gut. But he is the heart and soul of this team, plays the game the way it should be played. Andrés Giménez, your all-star second baseman, also in that Francisco Lindor trade. So that trade's looking really, really good. Owen Miller, most likely going to play a little first base, him or Naylor. And Owen Miller, you picked up in the, I believe, the Clevinger trade with San Diego. You got Miles Straw in there, Austin Hedges. All these guys were acquired via trade. Miles Straw came from Houston. Hedges came from San Diego. Miller came from San Diego. Andrés Giménez came from New York. Josh Naylor came from San Diego. And Amed Rosario came from New York as well. So like six of your nine guys in your starting lineup, in your batting order, came from, you know, potential trades here. So great, great job by the Guardians front office. And that is why this team is so successful, because they think outside the box, they get it done, and they are just smarter than a lot of front offices in baseball. They do more with less, and that's what makes them very, very special.
So early on, Steven Kwan, we're like, who is this guy?
Yeah, yeah.
Never let up all season.
Yeah, no. He, I think if it was like the first weekend or first week of the season, he had like 15 hits and 20 at bats. And then we're like, this guy is amazing. And like you said, he's just continued that throughout the year. And I think if I had to place money on it, he is going to win the AL Rookie of the Year, which is just fantastic. So he is great defensively, a fantastic hitter, and he's your leadoff hitter and can run. And, he hits for average, but he's got a little pop in the bat too. So he is looking good. And then the Guardians have the sixth best pitching staff in all of baseball. And that, if you include their starters and their bullpen. So that is led by obviously Shane Bieber, the former Cy Young Award winner. You got Tristan McKenzie. Cal Quantrill has won 10 straight games, that he started, which is just unbelievable. Savale is coming back. Zach Plesac right now on the injured list, but hopefully we'll come back and be able to, you know, help out in the bullpen or come in certain situations. But you have a really nice front three with Bieber, McKenzie, and Quantrill. And, Savale can get you some ground outs here and there. So I think you have a really, really nice rotation for especially a short series, and the Guardians will host. It'll be a best of three wild card series. We don't know the opponent yet, but could be Tampa Bay. It could be Seattle. It could be Baltimore, could be Toronto. So one of those four teams, most likely, we'll see who they end up facing. But with that order, with that starting rotation, and then obviously the back end of the bullpen, which is really, really good. You have Emmanuel Clase, again, that he came over via trade from Texas in the Corey Kluber trade. Listen to this trade. So it was a straight up trade. The Guardians got, or the Indians at the time, got Emmanuel Clase for Corey Kluber. Corey Kluber, obviously a great pitcher in his time with the Indians, but he pitched one inning for Texas before he got hurt. Emmanuel Clase is now considered the best closer in all of baseball and just doing amazing things. And the Guardians have him under contract for a long, long time. James Karinchak, the wild thing, number 99. He wears that in honor of Rick Vaughn. Trevor Stephan, Sam Hentges, and Nick Sandlin, all great relievers right now for the Guardians. So they are all doing amazing things right now for the AL Central champions. So we take a look at the team, 86 and 67. These last couple games are, I don't want to call them meaningless, but they're not going to affect. They're pretty much locked into that three seed. So you have three with Tampa and then six with Kansas City to finish out the season. So this is going to give a lot of these guys opportunities to, you know, kind of work on their craft, finish out the season, but also more importantly, get some rest before the playoffs start. So these guys are in full go mode before the playoffs start. And should be really, really exciting. And I had to throw this in there. Last week, Adam Levine went viral on social media for jumping in some girl's DMs. And he said, send me a pic. She did. And then he said, it's truly unreal how hot you are. It blows my mind. He obviously got in trouble for that. But threw in a picture of the Guardians because they are playing some hot baseball right now. Again, they've won seven in a row, 18 of the last 21. And by the way, if you have not seen the Adam Levine memes out there based on people sliding into DMs, it's hilarious. Kind of feel bad for him a little bit, or his wife or his family, but it is very, very entertaining to check some of those out. It's well done. Some people have some a lot of free time on their hand, but it makes for good entertainment for the rest of us. So in the world of baseball, and we don't talk a whole lot of baseball on this show, but there were three players specifically, non-Cleveland players, that I want to touch on real quick. So Aaron Judge, obviously a right fielder, number 99 for the New York Yankees, leading the major league in home runs with 60. The next closest player has 40 home runs on the season, which is crazy. The only players in history with 60 home runs in a season are Babe Ruth, Roger Maris, Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, and Barry Bonds. So Aaron Judge joins that company. He is currently tied for the league lead in average, leads in home runs and RBIs, and if he wins the Triple Crown, he is one short of setting the American League record, which is also the New York Yankees record by Roger Maris. So obviously with a few games to play, he's going to push for that record, or at least to tie it. Shohei Ohtani, number 17, pitcher, outfielder, DH for the Anaheim Angels, or LA Angels of Anaheim. He is the most versatile player in the league right now, maybe ever. But right now, he is 14-8 as a pitcher with a 2.47 ERA, 203 strikeouts in 153 innings pitched. He also is hitting 271 with 34 home runs, 93 RBIs, and 11 steals. Any other year, that would get you the MVP, but Aaron Judge right now is on a winning team, and the Angels baffle me every year. They have Mike Trout, they have Shohei Ohtani, two of the best players in baseball, and they can't win. I just don't get it. I just don't get it, why that team cannot win. They are year in, year out, a disappointment, but they do have two excellent players. And then finally, Albert Pujols of the St. Louis Cardinals has 21 home runs on this season and just hit two more home runs this past weekend to get to 700 home runs in his career for the 42-year-old. So just think about that, 700 home runs. There are two players in the history of baseball with 700 home runs and 3,000 hits. Those two players are Hank Aaron and Albert Pujols. The only players in the 700 home run club are Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, Babe Ruth, and now Albert Pujols. So four players only. And that is just unbelievable. So well done. Congratulations to Albert Pujols. He did that in LA, a team he actually played for a little bit, but I thought that was really cool. And especially to do it in a Cardinals uniform where he played most of his career. And then final baseball note here, only 10 current batters are hitting over the 300 mark in baseball, which is pretty insane. The league average is very low this year, but Freddie Freeman, Paul Goldschmidt, Judge, Bogarts, McNeil, Arias, Abreu, Lowe, Alvarez, and Andrés Giménez of the Cleveland Guardians. So those are your 10 hitters with that are hitting 300 on the season. So that's it for baseball. Real quick check in with the Cleveland Cavaliers. Again, I mentioned they opened up training camp this week, had some interviews, you know, get their photo shoot in, but they're going to start getting to work for the opening, you know, for the opening tip here in just a few weeks. So the ESPN top 100 list dropped, and the Cavs have six players in the top 97 in the league: Donovan Mitchell, Evan Mobley, Darius Garland, Jared Allen, Caris LeVert, and Kevin Love. I think on that list, Evan Mobley's a little too low. Caris LeVert's maybe a little too high, but there are some really, really great, solid basketball players, especially in that backcourt for the Cavs. The area where they're the weakest is at that three spot. If they can get a just some solid play from Isaac Okoro, this team could be very, very special. So that is our check-in with, again, the Cleveland Cavaliers. We look forward to some really good basketball this season. Before we get to the Cleveland Browns, I want to touch real quick on the Ohio State Buckeyes, who just absolutely knocked it out of the park against the Wisconsin Badgers this weekend. 52-21, a game that wasn't even as close as that score. It was 28-0 before you knew it. The Buckeyes cover the 17.5 point spread, and the over was 57. The Buckeyes nearly covered that themselves as it hit 73. So great, great job by Ryan Day and the Ohio State Buckeyes. My offensive Buckeye leaves, I'm giving them to CJ Stroud. Just an unbelievable season. The Heisman front runner, 16 touchdowns on versus one interception this year. You had two 100-yard running backs in this game in Mayan Williams and Travion Henderson. Cade Stover, the tight end, former Mr. Ohio, putting up amazing numbers this year. Your two wide receivers, Emeka Ibuka and Julian Fleming. Harrison kind of had a quiet game. And Jackson Smith and Jigba has played like 15 snaps the whole season. These guys have really stepped up. And then obviously the entire offensive line, Johnson, Jackson, Whipler, and both Joneses on the right side of the line, just mauling a good defensive team in Wisconsin, but just making them look just inferior, making them look like a JV squad. So CJ Stroud, like I mentioned, the Heisman Trophy front runner so far this season, 79-112, which is good for about 71%. He's averaging about 307 yards passing a game, 16 touchdowns to one interception. Just a great, great season so far. Marvin Harrison Jr. is an absolute freak. And if you remember his dad, former Hall of Famer for the Indianapolis Colts, catching those touchdowns from Peyton Manning. But on the season, 21 catches, nearly 400 yards, five touchdowns, and almost 19 yards a catch. Emeka Ibuka, a former number one wide receiver recruit, 26 catches, 442 yards, five touchdowns, and averaging 17 yards a catch, putting up amazing stats there. And then I want to give a shout out to the tight end for the Buckeyes. Cade Stover is sorry, as soon as I can get this to load. Cade Stover just putting up amazing numbers this year, could potentially put up one of the better seasons in Ohio State football history, just doing a fantastic, fantastic job for the Buckeyes. So those are my Buckeye leaves for this game. Joe, let's move on to the Cleveland Browns. And I want to just talk to you. Now we're talking like 5-6 days ago, this game almost happened, but the Browns, Steelers, the rivalry doesn't get much better than that. Obviously the Steelers have had, you know, the lion's share of that rivalry.
Catching up to do.
Yeah. So we have a lot of catching up to do, but we started chipping away at that. If I recall, that was probably one of the most dominant performances by a Cleveland Browns team over the Pittsburgh Steelers that I can recall. So what say you on that?
Yeah, my big, well, two things I was watching. Number one, I wanted to see how the Jets did against mm-hmm. somebody else. Okay.
Yeah.
And because if you take away some of those broken coverages, it mm-hmm. would have been a pretty tight game. Right. But
no
you
doubt.
Got a competitor that we're going to see in the next couple of weeks that yep. played against them. And I was getting a judge, like, how are we going to do against that? And I still, mm-hmm. Even though the Jets lost in bad fashion,
yeah,
I still think it's going to be a tight game. First, the Ravens.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah. Well, I think the Ravens are pretty good, but defensively they have some weaknesses.
Yes.
I think the Bengals really have a lot of weaknesses on that offensive line, especially, and they can be had on the defensive side of the ball, too. I think the Browns right now, Nick Chubb is leading the league in rushing. Jacoby Brissett is like Pro Football Focus third ranked quarterback in all of football.
You nailed it, man. You said he's the real deal. So.
I think he's the real deal for a short period of time. You know, like if he can get through these first 11 games and play you some smart, I think Kevin Stefanski loves having him at quarterback because he is not making mistakes. You know, he's putting the ball where it needs to be. He's just really playing solid football. Do you know who Pro Football Focus's 32nd ranked quarterback is?
I'm going to say the Panthers quarterback.
It is Baker Mayfield, 32nd out of 33. So because Cooper Rush is in there and he's been taking over for the Dallas Cowboys since Dak has been out. But,
Jacoby, but at least it's the same shit, too. So
it is.
You don't feel bad because he goes there and it wasn't your receivers. Mm-hmm. It wasn't your line. It wasn't anything. It was overthrowing the ball, rushing your pocket
right.
presence, and
right. And again, I don't want to just dump on Baker Mayfield.
He really
has done a nice, Jacoby Brissett has really done a nice job stepping in and obviously filling the shoes of Baker and stepping in for what we hope will be a great quarterback, obviously with some off the field issues.
See,
with,
I had a guess going into this that the defensive backs were going to play overly aggressive because they were, they were pissed
mm-hmm.
long and short.
Yeah.
But I was expecting a ton of penalties,
yep.
a ton of like physicality there. And they really impressed me. They got their stuff together, but they did it intelligently.
Yeah, no doubt. And the Browns offensive line deserves a lot of, they are mauling people
yes.
and opening up some big holes. As I mentioned, Nick Chubb leading the league in rushing right now with like 340 yards, I believe. They're also, giving Brissett time. Your boy Njoku had a huge game. Amari Cooper had another huge game. So the Browns are opening some eyes. They're doing some stuff. And
did you see Njoku before the game glistening shirtless? He is the best looking dude on that.
He is chiseled.
He is
a chiseled dude. Chiseled. And he's finally starting to earn. Now, I will say he's a great run blocker. He does very, very well. But it's nice to see him put up numbers. He had like 9 catches for like 89 yards and a touchdown. It's really nice to see that production on the field for him. That probably the second best game of his career. We're finally starting to see that David Njoku that is that first round draft pick. So
does it feel like I have a crush on him a little bit?
It's okay.
Yeah,
that's all right.
I'm confident.
You can have a crush on him, especially if he's playing good football, like man crush away on David Njoku. But Nick Chubb Yes. Multiple 100 yard games. Amari Cooper, multiple 100 yard games.
It is nice to see him in that offense.
Yes. He's a beautiful route runner. The only team in football with a multi 100 yard rusher and a multi 100 yard receiver. The only team in football are the Cleveland Browns. So very, very impressive.
I didn't see a whole lot of Donovan Peoples-Jones. I was hoping to see he would make his breakout year.
Yeah. Yeah, he had a nice opening game against the Panthers. I think like six catches for like 60 yards or something, but he really hasn't done much since then in the last 2 weeks. But, you know, if the Browns are going to just run that ball and, you know, churn clock and wear that defense down, and Donovan Peoples-Jones makes a couple catches a game, I can live with that, for sure. You know, but you know, I think they are going to need some help because they're going to start rolling coverage over to double Cooper. So, you know, as Peoples-Jones, he's got to get open. David Bell's got to start getting open. I haven't heard from Schwartz.
I was wondering about it. I was thinking maybe he's not even on the field anymore.
Yeah.
I saw
him in a few routes, but I did not see much of him. Yeah. And the Browns might, Kevin Stefanski, we obviously know, loves to run the ball, loves the big personnel. So if you're going to see a lot of Njoku and Harrison Bryant in that 12 personnel with two wide receivers. So if you're only running two wide receivers, you're going to see Amari Cooper and you're going to see Peoples-Jones on the outside. So we'll see. And I know they love David Bell. He just, you know, as a rookie, hasn't had that opportunity yet. So, right.
And I'm telling you, we need our special teams to get their crap together.
That was going to be my next point. I'm glad you said that because when Pittsburgh kicked that onside kick, how nervous were you?
It was volume 12.
Yes. Volume 12. Because I think it was George Pickens who made that insane catch earlier in the game.
Yeah.
But I think it was George Pickens who was offsides on that, but they were very, very close to that football on that onside kick. And I think Cade York missed another extra point. So, you know, obviously we're focusing on the positives here, but there are some negatives to be cleaned up. I think the Browns also had a 12 men on the field penalty on one of the Steelers field goal attempts. So, That needs cleaned up big time. The special teams has been a struggle. So, yeah,
what do you think the deal with Cade York? Do you think it was all that pressure from game one that kind of got in his head a little bit?
Maybe. You know, he hasn't missed a field goal yet. It's been two extra points.
But that was my complaint last year. But those, you know, every other team, it's automatic.
Right.
Even in shitty weather like we have up here. You learn how to get those 25 yards through those uprights no matter what's happening.
Exactly.
I would rather it get blocked than to miss it off to and shank it.
I'd rather he just makes them all.
Yeah, but if it's getting blocked, that means he's line driving it and, you know, he's worried about the accuracy and distance. You know,
I think from everything I've heard, he has this like freakishly intense routine that he just goes through and he forgets about the last kick, which is great, and just focuses on the next kick. But you know, hopefully those extra points start to become just like just automatic, because
I mean, this is multiple sports here, but I think free throws and extra points should be automatic as they get.
Yeah, I think free throws, a good player should be hitting 80%. And I mean, I cannot kick a football. I cannot kick a football off a tee or the ground. I could punt it, but I don't know. Those guys do it. That's like, literally, that's your job. That's what you get paid for. That you should be making, I don't know, 98 out of 100 of those. So let's just hope.
I just wish their press conferences at least said the story, like what happened there. And they say something like laces out or something. That makes sense, right?
Right, right. But we can all see the replay. And it's just, both of them have been right, I believe, that he has. And maybe they're so short that he's not, it's just not getting that hook.
It's like
that
those
he's
bowlers
used to.
Where they didn't have enough lane to hook.
Exactly. Okay. So, because if you notice that game winning field goal that he hit against Carolina that was like 58 yards, it looked like it was going to miss right and then came back through the uprights. So, you know, I don't know anything about field goal kicking. So I'll leave it to the experts and trust they're going to get it right. But, you know, I think it's Mike Prefer is the head special teams coach, and hopefully they get it figured out, because the special teams has been ugly. And you could say, well, the Browns could have lost that Carolina game, and you could say, well, they should have won that Jets game, but you are what you are. You're 2-1. Those games could have easily flipped, and you could have lost Carolina. You could have won the Jets and still been 2-1. So that's where we sit. And, you know, it's still nice to get that win over Baker on that week one.
Right.
It would be great to be sitting here 3-1. But if we're playing the schedule game, you're 2-1. Before the season started, what did we say? We wanted to be 3-1 in those first four games, and we have that opportunity. Obviously, we don't know.
I wouldn't have picked the Jets to lose to them. That wouldn't have been the one. For me, it would probably have been
the Steelers, yep, you know, coming on a short week. And honestly, that short week was probably the best thing for the Browns after that Jets game. Mm-hmm. You know, you didn't have to think about it and stew about it too long. You got on the field, got to hit somebody, and they really dominated. So
are there any injuries that extra days would have been better for? Does anybody get to heal up a little bit? I can't think of anybody.
Obviously Jadeveon Clowney, I don't know his status, but he did not play, but hopefully he'll be back on Sunday. I have not seen the status report, but yeah, a big loss in that game was the linebacker Walker.
What happened there? I know that he's out for the season.
Yeah.
Big injury. Like what happened? How did he get hurt?
I believe it was some sort of like quad tear. And then you add on top of it, that lineman jumped on his back, which I still don't know how that wasn't a penalty. So right. It is what it is. Hopefully that guy got fined for that. But, you know, it's just, it almost looked like, you know, when you overextend, and I don't know, those guys are so freakishly ripped that, you know, sometimes those soft tissue injuries just are bad, yep. You know, and unfortunately lose him for the year. Hopefully JOK is back because he went out of that game, but Jacob Phillips comes back.
JOK was missed.
He was because he can run side to side, but they really held the Steelers in check in the passing game and in the run game. And overall, I give the defensive performance a really good grade. So
yeah, and from comparing to injuries in the past, I mean, I think we're doing pretty well at keeping everybody healthy. Mm-hmm. The Miles thing's a stupid thing. It's not an on field, but sure. If you were to take that out of the equation, you know, oh, there's only been one big loss, and that happened last week.
And I forgot to share this meme, but I think I shared it on social media. But the funniest thing, not making light of because we know he's okay now, so it's okay to be a little bit funny about it. But it was a deer saying he got out of the way because of what he heard what Miles did to Rudolph.
See?
I thought that was pretty funny. Yeah. But it's okay to joke about it now that we know he's okay. But hopefully Garrett is back, or Clowney. You know, obviously his health comes first, and we got to remember these guys are human, not just football players. But we wish Miles Garrett all the best, and obviously have a big game, you know, against the team that struggled 1-2, but they did get a big win this past weekend against Seattle. So we'll see. This team can put up some points. They have the second leading rusher in the league in Cordell Patterson. So we'll preview that game a little bit more on Thursday.
Can I hit you with the hypothetical now? Because
yeah,
we always put the, you know, cart before the horse anyway. So let's just say Brissett really assembles into somebody who's a little bit more than a backup quarterback, somebody who you might want on your starting squad.
Mm-hmm.
And we get to that week 11, and then you're a head coach, and you got this guy that brought you a great record, mm-hmm. and served his time, and he achieved all the goals, and he did his thing. Yeah. How hard is it for you as a coach to then sit him for Watson?
Not hard at all.
No?
No.
All right.
No.
That was easy. He didn't
not hard
hesitate.
At all. No. No. You know, I think Deshaun Watson, again, whatever you think about him off the field is kind of secondary to, you know, we traded a bunch of assets, obviously paid him. I say we paid him a lot of money. This is your franchise quarterback. As long as he is healthy, he will be on the field. And Jacoby Brissett just becomes now the number one backup in the league. And you have an insurance policy in case maybe Watson does struggle, or maybe, you know, rolls an ankle or something like that. Then you're going into the playoffs or whatever, and you're saying, hey, I feel good about our backup having to play if necessary. So the backup quarterback has long been one of the most popular players, especially on the Cleveland Browns. Like, get Whedon out of there, get Manziel out of there, get, you know, player X out of there. And, you know, it is what it is. And
now,
you,
how many, as an NFL team ever had a quarterback rotation, they used two quarterbacks in the, all season long, like a different situational thing?
Actually, Tennessee, I believe, or excuse me, last year, Las Vegas, I believe, used Marcus Mariota, who's now the quarterback for the Falcons. They would bring him in on like rushing situations. But not, I think it was almost like more obvious situations. But when it's a quarterback that can run, you know that maybe he can get out of the pocket and maybe throw a pass here and there. It's not like the Wildcat where it's either he's handing it off to this guy or he's keeping it himself. So, and then Jacoby Brissett, actually, when he played, I think it was with the Colts, he was Phillip Rivers' backup. They would bring him in just on intentional quarterback sneaks. And I think they said in the game, he's like 29 to 30 in his career. Wow. So, you know, we had a quarterback with Mayfield who couldn't get that quarterback sneak before. He really struggled. And now you got a guy that if it's fourth and one, you trust your quarterback to pick up that yard, 2 yards. I think he even had a 6 yard gain on a quarterback sneak against the Steelers, which is just pretty awesome. And then he got up and kind of did that fist bump. So,
yeah.
But with that said, Jacoby Brissett, I'm very comfortable with him. But again, very short sample, 3-game stretch. And you're not playing the world beaters here. The Steelers do have a good defense, but that defense without Watt is very different. Mm-hmm. Panthers have a lot of talent on that defense. But, you know, I don't know what that team's going to be this year. And then the Jets, again, have some nice pieces, but not a solid team. So, you know, pretty soon you got the Falcons this coming week, then you got the Chargers, then you got the Patriots, who that game might look a little easier now because they're not going to have Mac Jones. He's injured. Former Browns quarterback Brian Hoyer is going to probably play in that game.
Yeah,
he's good dude. One of the, you know, actually had some nice wins with the Browns back in the day, but we can maybe, you know, we beat Mitch Trubisky, who is from Cleveland, Brian Hoyer from the Cleveland area. So maybe this can be a pattern. We'll beat guys that are from Cleveland on opposing teams this year. That could be a nice.
Well, as many quarterbacks as we had, we've got a coaching quarterback on every team.
We really do. That'd be an interesting thing. Look around the league, find out how many former Browns quarterbacks are sprinkled on rosters. There's probably a good amount. So yeah,
Brandon Whedon's the only one that I miss being in the league. He was so fun.
There's no way he's in the league still. No way.
He was 45 when he was hired. So
That's a good point. Yeah. So those are our thoughts on the Browns and the Guardians and the Cavs and the Buckeyes. So we have, it's a really, really good time to be a sports fan in Northeast Ohio and just Ohio in general. We're going to have plenty more for you on Thursday. We'll have a Browns Falcons preview. We'll talk a little bit more Guardians. We'll get into, the Buckeyes play Rutgers this weekend, so maybe we'll do something fun there with Rutgers. But for Joe, I'm Justin. Thanks for tuning in. Make sure to follow Youngstown Studio and the 330 Sports Show on social. Appreciate you guys.
Thank you for listening to this show on Youngstown Studio. If you like our programming, we invite you to subscribe to our YouTube channel, follow our Facebook page, or subscribe to your favorite podcast platform like iTunes or Spotify. This is original Youngstown content, and we would appreciate you sharing the video.